Okay, the next halachas have to do with splatters. Food. The best thing to do is not to cook milchiks and fleishiks on the oven, at the stove top, at the same time. Because inevitably you're going to have things splattering from one to the other. Some people, when they want to do that, they have a mechitza on there. I never saw it really, but I know that there is such a thing. In the middle of the stovetop where they cook things on one side of that mechitza and other things on the other side. So if there's any splatters, it hits the mechitza and doesn't hit the other pots. Most people don't have that. But most people don't have to cook milchiks and fleishiks at the same time or leave dirty pots on the stove of the other kind when you're cooking milchiks. Leave your dirty pots from supper, fleishiks, on the stove. You don't have to do that. And to avoid problems, the best thing is not to cook things at the same time on the stove and not to leave dirty pots on the stove where things could splatter of the other kind. But if you didn't do that, right, and you had a reason why while you're cooking your Shabbos thing, you had to boil up some milk or something like that, and it splattered. So then the halacha is like this. The problem is like this. Usually a splatter, if we're talking about a drop, okay, which probably the pot itself is 60 times as much as any little drop of milk or soup or something like that. What's in the pot usually is 60 times as much of the drops. That's, if you're cooking something that's substantial, it's usually 60 times as much as 60 drops. And so those are probably the circumstances. Now the problem is like this. There's a shaila, what happens when a drop, let's say, of milk hits a hot pot with food in it? There's three possibilities. One is the milk stays where it is and doesn't go through the entire pot. Second possibility is it goes into the pot and into the food. Third possibility is that it goes into the pot and goes through the entire walls of the pot. Okay, now let's see what the differences are. If the splatter is above the food level, the pot is half full of soup, and a drop of milk hits the top of the pot. Not talking about lid now. Lid is a different thing. Hits the top part of the pot where there's no soup there. So, if the drop goes through the entire outside of the pot, in other words, the pot itself, and doesn't go into the food, you probably have 60 times as much milk as the whole volume of the pot itself. If the, what's it called, the drop goes into the pot and into the food, for sure you have 60 times as much. So the food's not affected. On the other hand, there's one more possibility, that the drop stays where it is. It goes into the wall of the pot, and it doesn't go beyond that. If that's the case, then the food's not affected because it didn't hit the food. But the pot is treif. So in that situation, that's the halacha. The food for sure is okay, because manavshach, either the drop goes through the entire pot, even where the food is, or it doesn't go through the entire pot. It goes where it is, and therefore the food's not affected.
But the inside of the pot, though.
No. The drop goes on the outside of the pot.
On the outside.
Right, but it's absorbed into the inside too. Right, but above the line of food. So in that situation, the food would be okay, and the pot has to be kashered. Okay, so if the splatter is above the food line, the halacha is that the pot needs to be kashered. In the possibility that the drop doesn't permeate the entire area of the pot, it just stays where it is, then there's not 60 times as much, and the pot has to be kashered. But it doesn't affect the food at all. Manavshach. If the drop goes into the whole pot, so it goes with the food, and 60 times as much. And therefore, there's no problem. Okay, next. If the splatter is below the food level. It's below the food level. So there, the same thing. Here, for sure, if it's absorbed into the pot, then it's absorbed where the food is. And there's 60 times as much, so the food's not affected. If it stays where it is in the pot, in any case, the pot still needs to be kashered. Because there's one possibility that the drop is going to stay in the wall of the pot and not go into the other side, into the food, and therefore the pot has to be kashered. So in that kind of situation, the pot has to be kashered. And the food is okay. One second. So that's where it's below the food level. Okay. If it's above the food level, let's go back over that because I think I made a mistake. Okay. If it's above the food level, okay, then we're afraid like this. Maybe it's spread up. The halacha then is like this. If it's above the food level, there's four possibilities. One is that it didn't spread at all, and it didn't affect the food. That's one possibility. Second possibility, it spread throughout the entire area of the pot into the food, and there's 60 times as much, and the food should be okay, and the pot should be okay, because between the pot and the food, the milk is bottled. Third possibility is that it spread partially, okay, not far enough down where there's 60 times as much. It spread just to the very surface of the food, and there's not 60 times as much there. So there's a possibility that it did spread to where the food is, and there's not 60 times as much in the vato. Okay? So therefore, the pot, okay, has to be kashered before you use it again. Okay? And the food, what's it called, could be asur also. The minig is to asur the food, not to use it. And b'dievid, b'shas hadchak, there are heterim to use the food. You're not choshesh that monafshach. Either it didn't, it went into the food, or it didn't go at all into the food. One of those two possibilities. Okay. Next, if the thing splattered on the lid of the pot, splattered on the top, there's a lid, and okay. So then the shaila is like this: if the food inside the pot with the lid on it is boiling, okay, so the steam rises to the top and comes in contact with the cover, okay, so then it's just the same thing as a splatter beneath the food level. And a splatter beneath the food level, the food remains okay, and the pot has to be kashered. It's the same thing over here. Over here, though, the pot has to be kashered, okay, and the lid, okay. Okay, if the pot is not boiling, okay, so then the food isn't affected because the food doesn't reach the lid, and it's like a splatter above the food level. Okay, the pot lid, okay, has to be kashered because it was hot, and lamaisa, since it was yatsa lettuce bow and the milk touched it, it absorbed from the milk, and it was a fleshiga lid, and therefore it's what's it called. Has a blia of basar and chalav that has to be kashered. And if the lid was not yatsa lettuce bow, in other words, the food was hot, but it didn't yet make the lid hot, then all you have to do is wash it off. Right? The milk was cold, the lid was cold, basically not yatsa lettuce bow, then the lid doesn't have to be kashered. Okay. Next possibility. It's not a splatter of milk on meat, or meat on milk, but it's a splatter of milk or meat on a parva pot, and parva stuff inside. Okay? So, for instance, you have your hot water urn near your stove, and some of your chicken soup splatters onto your hot water urn. It's a good idea to keep your hot water urn away from your stove, so they don't have splatters. Okay? So what should be done? So therefore, basically like this. Since the urn basically is, whatever's in there is 60 times as much as the splatter, okay? The urn doesn't need to be kashered because it's boleya just basar or chalav and it's batel to begin with. And the water in the urn can be used with the opposite thing. There's also, what's it called, also batel. So if you have your chicken soup cooking near your Shabbos urn of water, and a little bit splatters on it. We're not talking about a tremendous amount, you know, pours on it. We're talking about a little drop. The next morning, you can use that water with your coffee and milk. The food remains pariv, and the pot remains kosher. Okay. That is pretty much... yeah.
If there's a hot water urn, and somebody's pouring milk into their tea, and it splatters on the urn, does the urn become melted?
They're pouring. Where does it splatter onto? Onto the.
You know, sometimes somebody's pouring tea and they spill the cup of milk onto the urn, on the outside of a hot urn.
Cup of milk?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, then it becomes milk. Yeah.
It's milk.
Yeah, for sure. Here we're talking just about small drops that there's for sure 60 times as much that drop in
so
the.
Even if it only touches the outside.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. The outside, inside doesn't make a difference.
Maybe mixing things up. Isn't there a scenario where you have to pour out on the opposite direction?
Yeah, that's what's it called. If the is above the food level, where the pot becomes treif because it may not have gone gone. So if you pour on that side, you're pouring whatever little bit comes first onto a treif pot. So you pour it out on the other side while it's still hot, or you wait till it cools off and then you pour it either side.